Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening or will be listening from around the world over the internet. Today we're going to be thinking in terms of yield good fruit and harvest. And our scripture is found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Now, I'll be reading from the New International Version because this allows English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. You may be using a slightly different translation, and so there may be some minor differences in the words used. So, Jeremiah 17, beginning at verse 5 through verse 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The bearing of fruit and harvest is going to be what we're thinking about in this session. You know, when we established Sojourners and we were going to do the doctrine statement and the Holy Spirit stopped me, I've mentioned this on some of the earlier ones because this is a little series on what the Holy Spirit told me we were to be doing and be about as Sojourners. He said that Sojourners would yield good fruit and harvest unto the Lord their God. So, we're going to be looking at that very thing in this session. But I will tell you, when he first told me not to do the doctrine statement, I was so surprised because he sent me to Jeremiah 23, just six chapters over. And it is quite a rebuke to the shepherds. And I thought, oh my, what have I ever done wrong that I would deserve such a strong rebuke? And then he said, tell the people they are to do what these shepherds had failed to do. The sojourners with you are to be doers and not just hearers. My people are to be people of action, my action through them. Believer and unbeliever alike are to see my glory flow through them in power. It was then I realized Sojourners Fellowships were not to be just another place to hear a message and go on about life. We were to be people who literally walked and talked and lived the very things that we had been directed to by the Holy Spirit. This, of course, would mean that we would necessarily have to yield. Yield. Now, you know, every one of us who drives a vehicle in a country that uses yield signs has experienced someone who did not seem to understand the meaning of the word yield and the proper response to it. Many who have invited Christ in their lives have mistakenly only accepted Him as a Savior and had never yielded to Him as Lord. You see, Jesus is either Lord of all or He is not Lord at all. I can't tell you how many times I've heard John Hagee say this in a sermon. So many, many times. But just imagine now, here you are, you're in your vehicle, and you're coming to an intersection, and the other person has a yield sign. Well, you know you're going to get there at the exact same time. But what happens if they don't yield? That can be kind of nasty. You see, it's important for us to also know when and how to yield. Commitment to Christ is an all-the-way thing. You see, the believer is the person who has yielded to Christ. there is no other such thing as, you know, there's no such thing as partial yielding. You either yield or you don't yield. And as you're coming into that intersection, those people are either going to yield or they're not going to yield. And if they don't yield, well, you know, see, whenever those two lanes of traffic and the vehicles come together, at least one vehicle better yield to the other completely, or there is disaster. A Christian is a yielded life to Christ. A yielded life to Christ. We are to defer to Him. Because in point of fact, He told us if we would lose our lives, we would find them in Him. Have you done that? How many people do you know that you could say they have actually found their life by losing it to Christ? By setting it aside, by giving up their wants and desires to totally focus on Christ and let Him really and truly care for them. You know, in a Bible study just today, I was talking to some people about the word, and we've talked about it in these meetings, the word where it says to cast your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. And the word cast there means to throw it to Him. And I use the example of a professional baseball player who might throw a baseball faster than 96 miles an hour, and the catcher would catch it. In this case, Jesus being the catcher that would catch this. That's how fast you're to throw it to Him. You're to yield to His way of doing things, His way of getting through our problems, His way for things to happen in our lives. And the mistake that most people make is they toss it to Him, and then you know what they do? They go take it back. Well, the pitcher can't do anything with the ball if he doesn't have the ball. And the catcher can't do anything with the ball if he doesn't have the ball. So if the pitcher, being like you and I, we cast that off, and then we go take it back from the catcher, the catcher can't do with that ball what they're supposed to be doing. And so then some things in a baseball game might happen that wouldn't be too good. As a matter of fact, his team might lose. It's very important for us to understand what to do with our life and why yielding our life is so important. Yes, the believer must be planted firmly in Christ to be fruitful. Have you ever tried to raise plants and then maybe the soil would get away from their roots, they're not well rooted, and then the plant withers and dies. The plant doesn't, or it doesn't thrive. It just sort of sits there and doesn't really grow and never produces any kind of fruit, whether its fruit be a flower or something that could be eaten. Fruit, good fruit, is what our Lord expects of us. You know, we have all sorts of expectations, don't we, of Him. We get into a problem, we expect Him to take care of it. That is, if we don't take it back from Him after we've tossed it to Him, we expect Him to do this for that, this for us, and that for us. As a matter of fact, I will tell you, after 40-plus years in ministry, that many people love to hear sermons about what the Lord will do for them, but they're not as excited about hearing any messages on what they're supposed to do for the Lord. A relationship is a two-way street. It goes both ways. And the only way it can be successful is for each person to do their part, not usurp the other person's part. In the relationship, you understand that God has yielded to you and I. He yielded to us free will. We can choose Him or reject Him. He yielded that to us. Now, if we're going to accept Him, then we must yield to Him. Just very interesting when you think about it. Yielding is not something that's real popular to talk about to people. I talk to people all the time that want to be the God of their own life. You know, they're free and they can do whatever they choose to do, and that is exactly right. But just because you or I or any nation or any people or any group of scientists or anybody has the ability to do something, it doesn't mean that they really should be doing it. It doesn't mean that that's something that would be really needful to do. Just because it can be done doesn't make it right. You see, so a believer must be planted firmly in Christ, firmly yielded to Him. And as I said, fruit, good fruit is what our Lord expects of us. That is His expectation. A harvest is something that is yielded from seeds. Do you understand that when you pick apples from a tree, or peaches from a tree, or cherries from a tree, or corn from a corn stalk, those things are yielding their fruit. This is what they yield up. As a matter of fact, farmers, when they buy seeds, they look at seeds that they're going to buy to see what the yield will be per acre or per hectare, depending on where you are in the world, for the amount of seeds that they sow. They expect a return off of what they have sown. And that return is called a yield. It is what the plants give up to the farmer at harvest time. So a harvest is something that is yielded from seeds that were planted. The harvest our Lord expects, is a plentiful harvest. That's a good harvest. Now let's take a look at a couple of things here. We must not plant sparingly to have a small harvest. We must have a harvest full of fruit. If we harvest one nearly, let's say we're growing apples, and we harvest one nearly perfect apple, we could say an ear of corn, a nearly perfect ear of corn, but let's just say apple to keep it simple. So if we harvest one nearly perfect apple, that one apple, no matter how well formed it may be, is not a plentiful harvest. It may be a beautiful apple, but it is not the harvest our Lord expects. What would you think if you received only one perfect dollar for absolutely exemplary work and were told, yes, it is only $1, but look, it is fresh from the printing house and has no blemishes or folds. It is perfect. You might not be pleased, even if you thought it was a beautiful specimen of a $1 bill. It wouldn't be much of a harvest for what you had expended, what you had put in. You see, God sent His only Son to die for us, to set us free. He yielded up His Son, and His Son yielded up His life for us. Believers are to yield both good fruit and plentiful fruit to the Lord. I heard someone say one time, they were talking about spending time with their children, and I remember I heard Dr. Dobson use this example too. And they said, well, it's not important how much time you spend with your children, as long as you spend quality time with them. And he used an example that I liked and I have used many times. If you went out to a restaurant for a steak dinner, and you were given a 1-inch square, or maybe a 2-centimeter square, of steak, and it was of the best cut, it wouldn't be a very satisfying meal, would it? Oh, but there's a lot of quality there. You know, the quantity wouldn't matter, it's just the quality. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for us to expect God to shower us? We love to point to the scriptures of shaken, you know, pressed down, shaken together, and running over from God. What does He have from you and I that's pressed down, shaken together, and running over? What is our yield to Him? What can He expect from the fruit of our life? The harvest of what we've done. It's a really important thing to think on. You see, we are blessed by God. Why? Because God wants to bless us. He has already blessed us by sending Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, to bless us with what? With salvation, with healing, with deliverance, and with preservation. Jesus yielded up his life so we would be restored to mankind's original state and condition in all creation with him. In other words, we went from being the tail back to being the head again. We were put on this planet to subdue this planet, to have dominion over this planet. To have that, to give that to us. If I just went out someplace and I bought you 100 acres or 85 hectares or whatever of land, and I said, all you must do is just give me a small portion of what you grow here. Maybe I would say just 10%. And you did nothing. What would that mean? Well, if Christ came and gave us salvation, healing, deliverance, and preservation, and we can go anywhere on this planet and develop a harvest for him, going into all the world to bring the floundering and those who are hurting and those who are sick and those who are demon-possessed to a full life with Christ, and after 20 or 30 years or 40 years, we have nothing to show for it. Or we may have one or two. We can say, but they have been such good little disciples after I brought them. You know, we could hold them up just like that apple, that nearly perfect apple, and say, but look what they've done. And it would be a wonderful thing. And maybe they have gone out and they have had a harvest after harvest. And yes, that would accrue to us. But where's our heart? Where's our heart in receiving the blessings of God? Where's our thank offering of our life and what we do? You see, bearing good fruit and bearing good harvest is as one who is truly has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior places you, places me, in a position to draw upon the treasure you lay up in heaven. You see, when we have a harvest here, we are laying up treasure in heaven. And that treasure is not just in the sweet by and by. That is treasure that we can draw on in the here and now. You see, this is true in your sojourn now and in eternity. What's a sojourn? It's your journey. It's your passing through this place. I'll be speaking on that soon about how we're passing through here. But we're here, and we have been given such a great gift, and we can bear so much fruit if we will do it. We love the fruit that Jesus gives us. What is that fruit again? Well, that fruit is salvation. That fruit is healing. That fruit is deliverance. That fruit is preservation. We love to receive that fruit. But he would like some fruit from us. Because he came for everybody, not just you and I. Is there anybody out there that you know doesn't know Jesus? Do you care? We live in a day and hour where we must yield good fruit and harvest to the Lord. You see, because the Scripture says to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Well, now let's just say that now the end of time has come and there are two lines. And in one line are the people going to eternal heaven, eternal close relationship with God. And in the other line are people who are going to destruction, who are going to spend eternity in just awful torment in hell. I know it's not popular to speak of this today, but there's a line that'll have those people in it. Now let me ask you this question. What if you were in that line, the one headed toward torment? Would you have wanted the people in the other line to do unto you? Think about that for a minute. If we are to do unto others as we would have others do unto us, how would you feel if one of your relatives or one of your friends was in that other line? Hey, they're going to a great eternity, and you're going to hell. Wow. Have you ever thought of doing unto others as you would have others to do unto you as a reason to give out the gospel? Because it is. You see, all of the things of God mesh together so compactly. Look at your hand. Look at the muscles that move your thumb for just a minute. At the base of your thumb, look what you can do with your thumb and how you can wiggle it. The thenar muscles in there are so tightly wrapped together that actually you can hardly do successful surgery on it, because just the scar tissue from the surgery causes them not to work properly after that, because they are so perfectly tied and wrapped together to do a function just to move your thumb. Everything that God does works just like that. It works together. So it's not just go into all the world with the gospel, but it's also do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and that is to get the gospel to them. Would you not want somebody to have gotten the gospel to you if you were in that line that wasn't going to heaven? I know I would. So bearing good fruit and good harvest is so important. And it lets us be in a position to not only draw on the heavenly rewards in eternity, but we have laid up then our treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. And we can draw on that in the here and now. Won't you yield good fruit and harvest to your Lord today? Now, maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. But you say, I would like to be saved, healed, delivered, and preserved. Then pray this prayer with me right now. Just go to the throne and say, Heavenly Father, I come to the throne right now. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. Or maybe I should say my Lord and my Savior, because I want His Lordship in my life. I want the salvation He offers. I want all of Him. And I want you to fill me with His Holy Spirit that He has sent. Give it to me now. I'm sorry I've not been here sooner, but I'm here now. For the first time I've heard it, I understand it. I don't know why I didn't before, but now I've heard it and I understand it. Heavenly Father, I want it. I want all of Jesus there is and everything that He has sent, even the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, my friend, welcome to the family. You are in the family of God. What do you need to do now? Oh, I hear some of you saying, wait a minute. I did that a long time ago, but I've gotten away from it. Oh, my friend, don't despair. Pray that same prayer. God will welcome you in. Just like the father of the prodigal welcomed his son back. But now then, what do you do? Some of you are new, and some of you say, well, I did it once, and I just kind of messed up. I never followed through. You must follow through. Hear me, whether you are new or whether you are returning, you must follow through. How do you follow through? You follow through by getting into the Word of God, by spending time in prayer. You can contact us. We will help you on the follow through. We will get you information. We will explain scriptures. We have years worth of teachings that you can listen to on the internet. Oh, won't you do that? It is so necessary to be able to walk in victory. You're like a citizen in a new country, but you don't know the rules yet. You don't know how to function. I'm not just talking rules. I'm just talking about how you just function. You don't understand how the money works. You don't understand how you greet people and how you say goodbye to people and how you just encounter people to do any kind of relationship kinds of things. Well, we learn that because people work with us who know, who are already there. They are the people who help us adapt to our new country. And that new country is God's kingdom. Contact us. We'll help you. In the United States and Canada, you can call us at 800-391-6944. Yeah, that's right. We'll pay for the call. That's 800-391-6944. Not only that, but if you're on the internet, because so many people don't know how to spell sojourners, and I'll do that for you in a minute, you can just put into whatever search engine you're using, whether it's Google or whatever, just put in 800-391-6944, and that'll get you to our website. It'll pull it up. You click on it there. Otherwise, our website you would reach by going to sojournershub.org. Now you see why I gave you the phone number, because a lot of people go, how in the world do you spell sojourners? Well, hang on. I'm going to spell it for you right now. SOJOURNERS, and then hub, HUB, all, as though it's all one word, .org. Send us an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Or if you're on Skype, give us a Skype contact. Contact us over Skype, thesojourner3734. That's the Sojourner 3734. Well, my friends, this brings to a close this broadcast. I'm so glad you were here. And if you were here, you were not here by accident. You were here because God wanted you here. He has drawn you, and you might not even have realized it, but He wanted you here. He wanted you to hear these words, and He wants you to hear more. He wants you to learn more. He wants you to enjoy the fruit and harvest available to you in His kingdom. So, with this blessing, we will conclude this broadcast. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.